This is Jim Inkster. Welcome to Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial. We start our show today with Eric Marshall. He's executive director of the Baton Rouge Symphony Orchestra. He has a background in this kind of work. He worked for 9 years with the Austin Symphony, and before that was with the Erie Philharmonic. He is a native of Erie, Pennsylvania, and he is here in studio to talk about what's happening with the symphony, and much is going on, as it usually is, and this is the time of the year when we're discussing Bachtoberfest. What's going on with Bachtoberfest?
Yes, well, thank you for having me. This will be our third year having Bachtoberfest. It was an invention of Timothy Muffet, our music director. He came up with it a couple years ago, and it was really a way to kind of engage audiences in a different way, get people out of the concert hall, get them out of into a different setting, and try to reach a newer, broader audience. And that's what Bachtoberfest really does. You get beer, brats, and Bach. What else do you need?
With the symphony. Now, the River Center, as we know, is being refurbished, and that has created some challenges. What's going on as far as locations?
It is a challenge, but it's also a really big opportunity for us. What we've done since we've been outside of the hall has really kind of gone more into the community. So last year, we performed at 12 different venues around the greater Baton Rouge area. So instead of always being at the River Center, we've used this as a way to go out and say, all right, let's go to the community. So First Baptist Church has kind of been our hub. We've done a lot of performances there, but we go down into Ascension Parish. We do a concert down at Homeless House down there. We've been at four or five other churches. We've been at LaBerge. We're at the Capitol Park Museum. So really, again, trying to get more out into the community.
Where will Bachtoberfest be?
Is at the Capitol Park Museum.
Capitol Park Museum, a nice venue, not the River Center, but a great venue under the circumstances. When do you return to the River Center, do you know?
The River Center is slated to open up January of 21. We're targeting September of 21. Once we start that new season, the 21-22 season, move back into the hall and make a big splash.
So we're still about 2 years away.
Yeah.
But Eric Marshall's a fascinating fellow. Young man, you're what, 35?
Yep.
35 years old. And you worked as part of a Barry Manilow tribute, is that correct?
That is true. That was kind of my first break into the orchestra world. I got hired to be a backup singer for a Barry Manilow tribute concert. I went to the very first rehearsal, and it was the guy with a tape recorder playing the tunes. He said, "Let's just pick out some parts." I said, "Time out. That's not how I work." So I actually took all the music with me, wrote out the vocal scores for everybody. He kind of saw that I had some ability. He had a position available at the Erie Philharmonic, and he said, "Do you want to come and be a marketing development associate?" I said, "I don't know what that means, but sure, let's give it a go."
Started with a Barry Manilow tribute. That is amazing. He's a good singer.
An amazing songwriter.
And he's a very talented man. But the symphony, through the years, has had some of these pop entertainers, not Barry Manilow, but others like him, who have appeared, and it's been very popular.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're hoping to get back to some of that over the next couple of years. We're bringing the Royal Life Pops is coming back this year. We're continuing that collaboration with them and hoping to really expand, our footprint in the overall community.
877-217-5757 if you'd like to join Eric Marshall in our remaining time with him, the executive director of the Baton Rouge Symphony Orchestra. And as we've noted, Tim Muffet, the longest-serving conductor in the history of BRSO, is soon leaving. He may very well come back on occasion. Let's hope so. But he will be moving on, and you'll have I'm sure some people interested in that position.
We will have a lot of people interested in that position. One of the good things with Tim, he's been such a great collaborator, is that we also have a really smart board that's not letting him just leave. So he's music director this year, but then he's music director laureate for the next 2 years. So he'll start kind of have the overall vision of where we're headed, and he'll conduct one concert a year. And during that time, that'll enable us to bring in some guest conductors, kind of see what's out there, test the market, and see if there's a good fit for us.
So they'd be auditioning, kind of.
Kind of. You know, it doesn't hurt to see what's out there.
What makes a good conductor?
That is a million-dollar question. You know, one, obviously, technique on the podium is super important, but you are the face of the orchestra. You're the face of the organization. Being able to get out into the community and connect with the community is really equally as important as your ability to lead the orchestra.
These have been challenging times for nonprofits raising money of all kinds, and mm-hmm. The symphony has not been immune to that. There have been some challenges that have been noted. How significant is the challenge right now?
So 2 years ago, we were about $700,000 in debt, and we're a little over $1 million organization. So those were some pretty big challenges that the board faced. I'm happy to say that today we're debt-free. The board has worked tirelessly to figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work, and kind of trim some of the fat and make sure we are lean and mean. A big thing that we're doing that is really kind of unique to the orchestra world is our partnership with Jarrett Richter CPA firm. He's a local CPA firm, but he's not just our CPA. He's our tech guy. He does our development. He does our patron services. It's his building. He does insurance. It's a full service suite of things that he offers for us. And that enables us on the orchestra side to focus on orchestra-specific things and kind of outsource all of that to someone that can get that at the rock-bottom cost and really kind of make sure we're moving in a really solid forward direction.
877-217-5757, or you can reach us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Trish in Lafayette. Trish, you are on the air with Eric Marshall of the Baton Rouge Symphony. Hi, Trish.
Good morning. Eric, I don't know if you were with the Austin Symphony when they did a community concert for kids years ago. They worked with a band that does family music. There were big screens. They played some scores from TV movies that kids would recognize and engage with. And then on the big screens, they highlighted each instrument in the orchestra and each section so the kids could see what kind of sound each instrument made. It was a wonderful afternoon for families and just got the kids so engaged. And I heard you mentioning getting engaged with the community, but that was just a fun thing for kids to really see and hear what the different instruments are and know that the orchestra can make music that they can identify with.
Yeah, those sorts of concerts are really important. We do that on our education side currently. We have what's called our Kids Discovery Concert Series, and that happens through the schools directly right now. So we reach up to 10,000 kids a year doing that program. But I would love to see us in the future expand that to where we can do it on a Saturday and bring in the whole family.
And one of the big goals, I think, for symphony orchestras everywhere is to find young people to replenish those people with white hair in the audience.
Music education is key for the survival of the art form. And, you know, it's not a new problem for symphony orchestras. We've been talking about this for the last 80 years that the orchestra's going to die, it's going to die. And, you know, people eventually come to the art form when they get to a certain point in their life when they have the time and maybe the money to really to enjoy the entire season. With the music education, though, one of the things that's really critical here with EBR is there are 14 schools this year in EBR that have no music education whatsoever, and that's a challenge for the community at large, and it's one that we kind of recognized, and so we're writing some grants currently to go into those schools at least a couple times a year so they can have something. I mean, I feel really bad for those schools, and those principals are in really tough positions. They're making decisions, do I want a reading specialist or a music teacher? There's not a right answer there, and so we're going to do our part to kind of help out the local school district where we can.
Some of the acts coming after Boktoberfest?
We're doing a concert dedicated to space in November. It's really exciting. It's going to feature a lot of music by John Williams, but also some stuff from the planets. So you'll hear E.T., you'll hear Star Wars, you'll hear Star Trek, you'll hear the planets, you'll hear Claire de Lune. I'm kind of a morph of a Pops concert and a Masterworks concert, kind of all in one.
Now, what gravitated you to the art form?
My undergrad was in opera performance, so I was originally an opera singer.
You went to school where?
I went to school at Mercyhurst University. It's a small liberal arts school, and I would never taken a voice lesson before I got to college. I just kind of always liked singing. I started as a music education major, and after three lessons, they converted me over to an opera singer pretty quickly. Fell in love with it right away. Did a lot of contemporary opera in New York. And I've always just enjoyed being around music. My father was the church choir director growing up, so I've kind of been doing it since I could walk.
You might be on stage at some point. It sounds like you're quite an accomplished singer.
I've been known to be on stage once or twice.
Well, that would be interesting. Very interesting to have the executive director. But you chose to come from Austin to Baton Rouge. Usually it's the other way around.
I've heard that a lot.
May 1st was his first day for Eric Marshall. How have the first 6 months gone?
Really, this community has impressed me in a lot of ways. The genuineness that you find here and the roots that exist here are, I think, are kind of really unique and really wonderful. When I meet people, they're incredibly friendly, which is not a really surprise to anyone from the South. But they go beyond that because then they back it up with how they're going to treat you and how they're going to make introductions for you and really kind of help you become part of the community. I've been telling people that this is kind of the right size town to get stuff done, where you can meet some people and the roots are deep. It's not that you're from here, your parents are from here, but your grandparents are from here. You know, people really care about the city, and that's something that really makes it special.
Well, we're glad you've chosen Baton Rouge, and we wish the Baton Rouge Symphony Orchestra well, and the next couple of seasons will be a move-around kind of thing, but come Thursday night, October 24th, Boktoberfest at the Capitol Park Museum. You can find out more information by going to brso.org. Eric Marshall, hopefully the first of many appearances on this show.
Absolutely. Thanks
nice
for having me.
Nice to meet you, and thanks for coming in today. We'll have the Dean of the Manship School of Mass Communication with us in just a moment, Dr. Martin Johnson, after this 90-second pause on WRKF.